You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Fade, a play by Tanya Saracho, now at the Cherry Lane Theater, tells the story of two Latinos from different backgrounds whose paths cross night after night at the L.A. television studio where they both work. Lucia, who is played by Annie Dow, has only recently been hired to write for a show featuring a Latina cop, and she meets Abel, a janitor who is played by Eddie Martinez, on the evening she arrives at her new office, unsure of why she has been hired and why she's even taken the job. It's directed by Jerry Ruiz and produced by Primary Stages, and I'm very pleased it has brought the two stars of the play, Annie Dow and Eddie Martinez, to our show today. Hello.
Hi.
Thank you for having me.
Annie, you were born in Mexico, came to the United States to attend college when you were 18?
That's correct.
Did that make it easier for you to get into the mind of Lucia, who was also born in Mexico and moved to the U.S. for school?
I mean, we do have like those biographical similarities. I think the harder part about Lucia is a little bit more the decisions that she ends up having to make and the betrayals that we want to say we wouldn't make, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like I would say I wouldn't treat people the way she treats people in the show, but I don't know.
Well, it's always fun to play somebody who has faults. She speaks incredibly rapidly in Spanish and in English. How naturally does talking at that speed come to you? Do you ever find yourself stumbling over your words?
Oh, yeah. I mean, a little bit at the beginning of the show, for sure. But that is kind of a more natural rhythm for me, which it makes it harder for, in English, harder for my parents to understand me. In Spanish, harder for my boyfriend to understand me. So it goes back and forth.
Spanish does lend itself to speaking fast if you as long as you don't say certain difficult words, I imagine.
Right, yeah. It's very, especially my accent, it's very like a little machine gun, like ra-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta, you know.
Eddie, weren't your parents both from El Salvador?
Yes.
But you grew up in Chicago. Is there a large Salvadoran community in Chicago? Or I know there's a big Mexican community.
Yeah, big Mexican and Puerto Rican community in Chicago. Especially growing up, there wasn't too many Salvadorians. I feel like we knew them all.
Did living near this large Mexican-American community in Chicago help you with your accent in this play?
Yeah. I grew up with a lot of Mexicans, Colombians, Cubans. So I feel like my Spanish is sort of this mix, a salsa, if you will. but it did help having a lot of Mexican-American friends.
Didn't Tanya Saracho, the playwright, ask you to read for the part several years ago in Chicago?
We did a reading of it at the Goodman Theater, I want to say late 2014.
And did you know immediately that you wanted to play Abel when you saw the script?
I really loved the character, but it was only like 45 pages at the time. And then a year passed, so I sort of just did this reading and forgot about it. Continued on with other projects, other things. And then she reached out to me about doing the new Playwrights Festival in Denver.
A lot of this is also about identity. And your character, Abel, was born in Los Angeles, but thinks of himself as Mexican.
Like a lot of Mexican Americans, there's a pride that comes with being Mexican, whether you were born here or not. I mean, I personally can't speak to that. I feel like I do have the same pride about being Salvadorian, even though I was born in Chicago.
And what about you, Annie? You didn't come to the U.S. until you were 18.
Yeah, I mean, I'm in this kind of weird place right now where I'm straddling like two countries, you know what I mean? I don't quite feel at home in Mexico, and I don't quite feel at home in the United States. I kind of wish they would merge together somehow, which they might now with the stuff that's going on.
Well, we won't talk about that. After all, the United States did take a big chunk of Mexico.
Right.
one of the more disgraceful moments in American history, although the people in Texas will never admit to that.
No, they will not.
Did Tanya Saracho begin writing the play before Donald Trump opened his campaign with remarks about the negative aspects of immigration, particularly those involving Mexico and Mexicans?
You know, she'd written the play before, and I remember doing a reading of this, being brought into a reading at some point in October, I think, and then the election happened, and we came back to look at the script again, and it just felt like a completely different play. in a way. Like, a lot of jokes, we make a lot of jokes about how Mexicans are not quite accepted in American society, and those jokes were falling really flat for us, you know what I mean? It was suddenly became real.
Well, Lucia also rants about Mr. Trump during the play. So right. She must have added lines for you.
She did, because we wanted to make sure that the play, I think Tanya really wanted to make sure the play was, it was clear that it was a play about this time and not some sort of mythical past that, you know.
What's Lucia's immigration status? Is she afraid that she'll be deported?
I think she probably is, but she's probably safe. You know, she must have some sort of green card situation or some sort of artist visa, because she wouldn't otherwise be able to – Hollywood wouldn't be able to hire her otherwise.
Is that a concern for people like you?
If things keep going the way they're going, I think I'm worried, yes. I'm worried because it's very easy for – I mean, you know, like, it's very easy for people to be walking down the street, and then if you look a certain way or you talk a certain way, to be stopped. And that is kind of the fear that I think a lot of us have right now is, even if you have papers, what if you get stopped when you don't have them?
I'm speaking with the two stars of a new play called Fade. They are Annie Dow and Eddie Martinez. It's currently at the Cherry Lane Theater at 38 Commerce Street and is running just through March 5th. Eddie, your character, Abel, knows as soon as he meets Lucia that she's from a different social class. They may both be from Mexico, but this is an important part. And he calls her a fresa. Now, doesn't fresa mean strawberry in Spanish?
It does.
So what is this meaning in this context?
He's speaking to he hears her rhythms, her tones of her Spanish. He says, "I recognize the way you talk in Spanish." That she comes from this sort of upper class in Mexico that is sort of, as you've said, is expected to sort of just get married, stay
right.
home, take care of the kids, work out. Maybe comparable to like the Kardashians?
Yeah.
A society matron.
Yeah, basically. I mean, fresa is sort of like it's a word for, it kind of means bougie, you know. So you are, as a sign of your class, then as a woman, you don't have to work. You don't have to take care of the children, you know.
Eddie, did you encounter any fresas when you worked, as so many actors do, as a waiter?
I myself actually never worked as a waiter.
Oh, I thought you did.
I've done all sorts of different jobs, but never actually did that.
Well, in this case, you're playing a janitor, and you say that in movies, if you are a Hispanic actor, you have three possibilities. Janitor is one.
Mm-hmm. Criminal, drug dealer of some sort, a narco. Or maybe like a soccer player or something. I don't know. I've auditioned for parts as janitors before, or very much working class man. That's sort of my thing, what I do. But this part was deeper than that, so I was really excited to do it.
Lucia won't admit to being a fresa, but she makes assumptions about Abel that annoy him. She speaks to him in Spanish because she assumes that he speaks it based entirely on how he looks and the job that he's doing.
Yeah, she does. She she's a woman who was entitled to certain privileges her whole life. And so to her, it's very normal to sort of assume that everybody's going to cater to those and is going to cater to her just because of who she is and where she was born.
On the other hand, she seems to be much more curious about Abel than Abel is about her.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think it's sort of because I understand this just growing up, the division between the classes is very strong in Mexico in a way that is different from here. You don't really get to interact with somebody from a lower or a higher class.
So I think it is that sort of master and servant thing.
Right. So I think she gets a chance to – when she gets a chance to actually talk to Abel like people and not like master and servant, she really gets a chance – all these questions start popping up about like the logistics of his life and what kind of life he leads.
But she's also quick to tell Abel her life story. She's published a novel. She has no experience in screenwriting, and she's worried that the only reason that she's been hired is because she's a Mexican. And it Turns out she's probably right.
Yeah, I think, yeah, she probably was just the diversity hire, as they say in the play. I think she's ultimately a very lonely person and is desperate to have somebody to talk to, somebody who she feels like is on her side. And she sort of starts assuming that Abel, just because they have the same heritage, that he'll be there and root for her and support her. And I think eventually he starts challenging her a little bit on, like, what she's complaining about.
And for the first time, you feel sort of that the other side of privilege, which is something in Mexico that you probably didn't have to deal with a lot. And then in this writer's room, it's clear that you're there to fill a quota.
Right. Lucia certainly learns that she's not... Yeah. She learns what it's like to be the other, the Mexican, just like the maid or just the maid.
One of her colleagues calls her Sofia Vergara and constantly mispronounces her name.
Yeah.
And the show she's writing for never makes it clear what country the Latina cop is really from.
Well, that happens a lot in Hollywood.
That's most TV shows.
Yeah, I mean, they'll just say, like, and I think, like, part of it is, like, you know, casting or whatever, being open to, like, you know, we just want Latinos, whatever comes, we're not picky. But then nobody ever goes and, like, narrows in what that experience is. It's as if all our experiences were the same.
Lucia is not sure how much to push back when her white colleagues demean her. Have you had similar experiences as a Mexican woman living in the U.S.?
Oh, yeah, all the time. It's hard because you don't know. Like, I've been told by casting directors or agents, I've been told I'm very lucky that I get to play white, which is a confusing thing to hear because, like, I guess that's good, but also I get to play white, and then what's wrong with playing me? So... Yeah, there's a lot of that, and especially
they're probably just trying to say, because of the way you look, you have more options for roles that you can get.
Right, but they're also saying that they're also sort of tacitly acknowledging that the roles that I would otherwise get offered are not very interesting. And I think instead of working on fixing that, they're sort of – people are just kind of like patting me on the back and saying, yeah, well, you're the lucky one. You know, you're lucky because of this. Like, I'd rather play something interesting.
The casting agents or whatever tell you that how much your the way you look, Eddie, affects the kinds of roles you're going to get?
Yeah, I mean, I've auditioned for Middle Eastern parts before, or even Indian. I've always sort of auditioned for the same sort of stuff. I mean, I've done a few things where I played somebody in tech. That doesn't involve being a criminal or a working man, but generally that is how I'm seen.
Do you think
I'm still trying to navigate that?
Do you think that members of the audience who come out of some Latin American experience see a different play than the rest of the audience?
Oh yeah,
absolutely. And I think within the Latino culture and the people that come to see the show, they have their own different opinions. I've had Puerto Rican friends that see it one way, Mexican friends that see it a different way. I have some Colombian friends coming in this weekend. I'm interested to see what they think.
Yeah. I've also had, like, it's been very surprising to me how women, especially young women of color, feel. They've come up to me at the end of the show being like, I'm in a room full of men too at work, and it's just like this, and like this is so nice to finally see that, like, I'm not crazy, you know.
I'm curious about the title Fade. Do either of you know where it came from and what it refers to?
You know, I'm not sure that I know exactly where it came from, but I think we've sort of
in the early stages we talked about it a little bit. We didn't really sit down and discuss that too much, but. What we sort of got out of it is it's a play on Fade to Black, which is a TV term, but also questioning if your brownness has to fade as you move up the corporate ladder.
Whether in order to be powerful you have to give up your what makes you unique or what makes you diverse. Do you have to trade on that? Do you have to give up on it in order to succeed?
The run is just through March 5th?
Correct.
And then Cherry Lane has something else coming in, I imagine.
Yeah, I think it's called Daniel's Husband. It sounds really interesting.
But this has gotten such wonderful reviews. Does that mean that you might move on with it somewhere?
Well, I certainly hope so. I know there's a bunch of regional theaters that are interested in picking it up.
Producing it, yeah.
Yeah, we're not. I haven't gotten a phone call yet, but
no, we're not clear on anything yet.
Meanwhile, we thank both of you for being on our show, Annie Dow and Eddie Martinez, the stars of Fade, currently at the Cherry Lane Theater at 38 Commerce Street in the West Village, running through March 5th. And if you want more information about it, you can go to our show page at wnyc.org/lopate and find out all about tickets and such.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you for having us.